Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 147. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with security reporter Alex Kulafi. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
It's good to have you back in Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's always nice to be back in Chernobyl.
It's our last day in the office before we head off to RSA.
Yeah.
Face coronavirus.
Yeah. I wasn't scared of the coronavirus before, but then after IBM and then now.
That's right.
Yeah, we have AT&T dropping out. Now I'm starting to second guess myself. The doubts are going on in my head, like, what if I get the coronavirus? And then I realize, wait a second, you're a healthy 25-year-old man. You're a man is his.
Yeah, man. Man,
we'll count it.
I'll allow it. Yeah.
You're probably fine, but then I'm like, but AT&T.
Yeah, it was. So you wrote that story, and that was a little. The timing on that one was strange. I guess in the interest of RSA prep, we should let the listeners know that AT&T sort of unexpectedly, I would say, dropped out of the show yesterday, Thursday. We're recording this on Friday. The 21st?
21st.
That's right. The show starts Monday. It was a little unexpected. IBM had dropped out the week before.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close to the show. AT&T did not have a huge, like, they did not have a keynote. They had a session. They had some people there. You were supposed to meet with them, I believe.
I was supposed to meet with them, and they were a semi-major sponsor, a gold sponsor.
Gold sponsors, not nothing. And they've made a huge investment in cybersecurity over the last few years. They've made some acquisitions, and it's not like, a telecom giant not showing up at RSA is no big deal. I mean, they had a vested interest there, so
right.
A little unexected. I think we're going to be fine. We'll be fine, right?
I think I'll be fine. You, I'm not so sure about.
That's great. I'm probably going to be racked with sort of germophobia, and we'll see. And other big news, other big RSA relevant news, RSA conference relevant news. RSA Security, the vendor, was sold at long last, and I say at long last because this was a move that people had been expecting for a while. They had been predicting this, analysts, insiders, people in the know, and it finally happened. Dell agreed to sell RSA Security to Symphony Technology Group, STG. They're the primary buyer, but they're also getting a little help from a couple other investment groups, Ontario Teachers Pension Plan Board and Alp Invest Partners, and the price tag was just over $2 billion, $2.075 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Alex, I'm going to ask you a question because
yes.
I'm not great at math. If RSA was just sold this year for $2.075 billion,
mm-hmm.
but EMC acquired them in 2006 for just under $2.1 billion, what does that tell you?
Well, that's a little less money if we're counting inflation.
Yeah.
Because what is it, 3% a year?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so that's probably a little bit less.
So it did not. It not only did it not appreciate in value, it sort of...
Maybe slightly depreciated.
Slightly depreciated. It's not great. It's not great. And again, people have been expecting this for a while. Little background. You know, Alex, I know you're somewhat new to the beat now, although you're doing great, and you can put that in your performance review.
Thanks, Rob.
RSA was one of, along with Symantec and McAfee, was one of, like, the big boys, the pillars of the early days of information security 2 decades ago, and they were pioneers for encryption and two-factor authentication, identity and access management, and for whatever reason, EMC could not make it work. They acquired the company back in 2006, like I said, to sort of, they had this vision of melding data storage and data security together, and it just didn't come together, and once Dell acquired EMC, they were just kind of, you know, people were just sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop with RSA. And it finally happened. So we'll see what SDG has in plan, you know, for in store for them, what the plans are for the company, whether they are going to move ahead with RSA as a single vendor, whether they are going to sell off pieces of the vendor and keep it as a core identity and access management platform. I don't know. We'll see. I expect it's going to be kind of hard for them to get on stage at their own show and not talk about this, right? You would expect them to say something.
Well, I think they got ahead of it a little bit so that they wouldn't have to talk about it as much at the show.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I hadn't thought of it that way.
If they're going to announce it before the show, it's going to be discussed no matter what, or questions are going to come out and all that kind of stuff. But, I think that maybe they're getting ahead of it a little bit.
Yeah.
What day of the week was this revealed?
This was Monday night. Monday night, the Journal reported that the acquisition was pending and could be finalized or announced as soon as Tuesday. Okay. And it was. So clearly everything had been signed, sealed, delivered, dots, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed. And they were planning on doing this, which is interesting. Right before the event, and I don't know what it gains STG in terms of announcing it right before the show. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, though, someone will be there at the show to sort of provide a little bit more information about it. But maybe you're right. Maybe they just wanted to get this out of the way, get ahead of it, and then just sort of not ignore it, but not really delve into it too much at the show. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Speaking of financial deals and private equity firms and all the goings-on in the greater cybersecurity industry, Alex, you had a story. You had two stories recently that dealt with investment trends and some interesting results, I would say. That you got from your legwork on these stories. Where would you like to begin? Because I think this is relevant. I'll just start. Sorry to cut you off, but I think this is relevant for RSA as we head in there, because this is where a lot of startups try to emerge from the pack, whether it's through the Innovation Sandbox contest or just in general. It's where a lot of deals are made. It's where a lot of relationships are made. And it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this year's show based on the number of M&A activity that's already occurred and the really big investments that we've already seen in the last few months, but some really big ones in 2019, which, you know, I don't know if you want to start there, if you want to start with sort of predictions for 2020. It's up to you.
Well, I think we'll focus more on the most recent article, the mapping.
Going forward, I like that.
Yeah, but I will say that if you want to go to searchsecurity.techtarget.com, you can find an article that goes into the top 10 sectors where cybersecurity investments happened last year. It was a preview of Momentum Cyber's annual Cybersecurity Almanac, a large, impressive report on cybersecurity trends, industry predictions, and strategic activity. And I think that was a fun article to write, and that was fun information to see. So I recommend that people check that out.
It was a good glimpse into a, you know, the almanac is pretty thorough. There's a lot of information in there.
Last year's, well, not this new one, but 2018's was, I believe, something like 800 pages. 600 pages? It was some hundreds of pages.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of info in there.
But what I want to focus on is the second article, which was I went to four different analysts or analyst-like figures to ask them what they thought of cybersecurity trends going forward in 2020 and potentially beyond. And I talked to one Mr. Doug Cahill, Vice President and Group Director of Cybersecurity at Enterprise Strategy Group. I talked to Christina Richmond, Principal Analyst of Cybersecurity Services at Enterprise Strategy Group. I talked to ForgePoint Capital Partner Will Lin. And I talked to Chris Steffen, Research Director at Enterprise Management Associates. And all four of them had very different things to say. I wouldn't say that necessarily it's the kind of thing where, like, one of them will be right and three of them will be wrong.
Yeah.
It was more like the kind of thing where when they thought of where's the money going in cybersecurity, they all had four very different approaches to answering that question.
Yeah.
So the one I'll start with is Christina Richmond, actually. Because I think that she had the most sort of direct sort of answer on this.
Yeah, I would agree.
Which is that what she's hearing from all the CISOs she's talking to is that data security, privacy, and risk will be the top investment areas in 2020. And with things like the CCPA and GDPR, as she was saying, it's no wonder why that would be the case.
Yeah. The CCPA, I think, is really it's not just the actual legislation in California that is sparking this. I think people are anticipating, and maybe Richmond is, this is part of what her thinking is on this. People feel like it's probably sooner rather than later that a federal law comes around in some in some shape or fashion, or maybe just guidelines that start to bring some order to data privacy and data security in the U.S., similar to GDPR, instead of having these regional laws, whether New York or California or whatever. So that doesn't surprise me to see that happening, to see people looking at investing more dollars in companies that can provide that kind of, provide some type of risk compliance solution or services to organizations. So,
yeah. All right. And then Will Lin, he predicted a shift in cybersecurity investments that everything's going to go back to basics, was his idea. And he pointed to the RSA Sandbox winner last year, Axonius, as sort of a sign of this trend, as an example of a back-to-basics company. And they do asset management and asset inventory, visibility, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That was an interesting one.
Yeah.
And I thought he had some interesting, additionally interesting feedback when he talked about why that was happening.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to read his quote
because
I like it. Security has had a lot of fun for many, many years. Some would describe the last 5 or 6 years as a gold rush in security. I think CISOs have had a lot of opportunities to experiment, and some of those experiments worked out really well, and some of those experiments worked out not that great. And so I think that all the decisions that have been made in the past 5 years during this gold rush are coming back to roost, and some of those that didn't work are very clear lessons that, hey, we shouldn't be spending so much time investing in those cool ideas. We need to spend more time going back to the basics. So he didn't necessarily, outside of asset management he gave as an example, he was just saying that, like, the tried and true areas of cybersecurity are where the money's going to go next.
Yeah, yeah. No, and he's not the only one that has talked about this. Other folks have sort of felt like there should be more of a move toward funding companies that do things like vulnerability management, you know, patching, things like that, the basics. But I thought his point about, you know, past investments in certain cool technologies not working out so well. Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of investments in machine learning and AI and AI-driven security. Some have worked out and some haven't. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not some of the ones that are doing the back to basic stuff, if they take off, Because, I mean, there's a reason why those back-to-basics companies didn't, you know, weren't superstar investment, you know, companies prior to this is because, well, it was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you need that stuff. You have to have vulnerability management. You don't have to. You should. Asset management is an important aspect of security. I mean, there's things like that that are just kind of overlooked. So,
yeah,
good stuff.
It's like investing. It's like going to an investment broker and getting like a mutual fund as opposed to betting on like the next great startup.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Doug Cahill had one of the more abstract, I would say, answers to this, or maybe abstract to me because I'm new to the beat. But he was saying that because innovation is critical to counter the evolving threat landscape, venture funding continues to be strong in the cybersecurity market. And he was talking about cloud adoption as a big driver for IAM and data security investments.
Yeah, basically. So, and he's talked about this before. I think like a lot of people, there's this idea that as people sort of continually use more mobile devices and cloud services and cloud apps, this idea of building a perimeter around your organization and your workers, it's just not really feasible. So it's better to sort of focus on identity and access management solutions and technology that can protect that person's access to, you know, whatever cloud service or whatever mobile device or whatever resource they're using. And then as the data gets more spread out across these cloud resources, you need better data security around those types of data and those resources in the cloud. And there's been a lot of talk about cloud-centric products and cloud-centric identity. And now it seems like it's just kind of getting, like, everything is sort of going back to, it's moving away from being cloud-specific and just sort of just general identity and access management and data security, just because everybody's using the cloud now. But it's been such a big driver, to Doug's point, that it's changed the way people interface with this stuff and where the data goes. And it's just, I mean, you've been here long enough, you've probably seen some of the examples of companies that accidentally expose their, you know, AWS environments or storage buckets or whatever, because they misconfigured something, or somebody left their API or encryption keys lying around. So it's a big problem.
Yeah. And you hope that, like, one of those, like, noble Batman researchers comes around and is like,
tells you about it. Yeah.
Tells you about it. But sometimes that doesn't happen.
No. Sometimes they just go straight to hacking you because no one else knows about it. So,
yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. And then the last one, Mr. Chris Steffen. He has, his answer was, where's the venture capital money going for cybersecurity in 2020? The answer is everywhere.
He's right.
He says that, he highlighted a few key sectors. He said DevSecOps and automation and IoT playing third. But the whole industry in general is going to receive tons and tons of money.
Yeah.
So you have some people saying back to basics. You have one person saying data security, privacy, and risk. And then he's kind of saying you're both right.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting money.
Yeah, I mean, and that sort of, doesn't that kind of mesh with, you know, going back to your cyber momentum, the almanac, did I get that right?
It is Momentum Cyber.
Yes. See, thank you for correcting me. I appreciate it. but yeah, Steffen, who we should mention, research director at Enterprise Management Associates. So if you look at that almanac data, There were definitely some, like, data security, privacy, and compliance were big ones. IAM were big ones last year for venture capital investments.
But three of them got, like, the top – and got in the top four for both categories.
Yeah. And you're talking about a lot of money. But it wasn't like they – it wasn't one of those bar graphs where, you know, three or four of them were way up high and then everything else was down low. It was
gradual.
It was a gradual. So a lot of – a lot of areas, a lot of sectors got a lot of money last year. So I think Stefan's probably right. And the other interesting thing he said in his comments was the SMB stuff about, you know, products or solutions that are tailored to small and medium business sort of getting more attention as sort of being an untapped opportunity. And I would say, I mean, that's something that's a nut that people in the industry have tried to crack now for a long, long time. Like figuring out how to go from, you know, consumer antivirus security, just general home security, to down from the enterprise, the big enterprise level, to that smaller and medium sized business area where they can't afford as much, but they obviously definitely need security. So how do you provide them with a suite or a platform that can do what they need to have done as a business, as opposed to having them rely on sort of piecemeal solutions that are maybe a little bit cheaper because they don't have as big a budget as an enterprise. And maybe because it's piecemeal and sort of slapped together, it doesn't work as well. So who knows? That would be great. I mean, if I hope Stefan is right. I hope that happens because it is an area that needs some attention and some investment. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think that now that I've said we've talked about all of these four out loud, I think at first when I was writing this, I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do an article about this. All four of them had different things to say.
There's no trend. There's no single trend. Yeah.
But it seems like all four of them put together paint an overall picture.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily contrary to any. None of these points are necessarily contrary to any other point.
Yeah, they don't contradict one another. I would agree with that.
So perhaps they paint an overall picture. And if you're interested in learning more, searchsecurity.techtarget.com.
Yes, good promotion. I like it.
Thank you.
Well, and we'll. I'm sure there's going to be more news. I mean, there's already been some big venture capital funding announcements prior to the show. I expect there'll be some, maybe during, and certainly in the aftermath. I would expect, like just the other day, one of the big endpoint security vendors out there, Sentinel One, they raised $200 million in a Series E funding round.
Unicorn status.
Which is huge. I mean, that's massive. Again, you know, Series E, so they've already gone through A, B, you know, all that. But that's pretty significant. There's a few other vendors. I mean, there's vendors that you wrote about in your preview that had gotten 100 plus million in their first rounds of funding or their latest rounds of funding, either or. So there's still a ton of money out there, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will see where it goes. We won't come down with any weird illness or infection at RSA. I'm just trying to psych myself out, Alex. Just let me do this.
I'm so happy to be on the final episode of Risk and Repeat.
Oh, geez. Knock on wood. But should be an interesting show. Looking forward to getting out there and getting some In-N-Out burger and seeing what's what. Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, thank you for the work on those two stories and for joining me in this latest podcast.
You're welcome, Rob.
And to the readers and listeners out there, please wish us luck at RSA conference next week. And thanks for listening, and we will see you soon.